is in honor of all the Ruths in the room. Sure. Well, we don't have a book of the Bible named Dwight. And the first chapter of Ruth, a number of transitions are detailed. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she sent out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord is turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and even more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So, the new beginning.
And the coping strategy? Seduce and marry a rich man.
Good. Hope they picked that up on the tape.
What was your name, sir? Well, come on.
Frederick, H. Eura, H for Henry.
We're going to look at some coping mechanisms today, and one of them is a major one, and that is, I'm never sure which is the chicken and the egg here, which is cause and effect. It has to do with our values, that as we go through the stages of life, sometimes things that were important to us cease to be as important, and something else moves up on the scale and takes its place. Those are called values. And when that happens, we gotta move the furniture around out there again, because when we make our plans and live our lives according to values that are old values, or that are, have moved down on the scale, and no matter how successful we are, it's a hollow victory. But when we do something, even though people may not notice it or give us a trophy for it, but it's lined up with our, with the way we have recently prioritized our values, then it's very important and meaningful to us. From my background, I'd see it again and again. My job was to find ministries for students when they finished the seminary. And oftentimes, not often, once in a while, someone would have maybe left home at age 14 to go to a preparatory school, high school, gone all the way through college, one of the church's colleges, 4 years of seminary. And when they start out on that road, or maybe even up to halfway through it, that's what they wanted to do. Mom and Dad thought it was a good idea. Everybody in town thought it was a good idea. The pastor that they idolized thought it was a good idea, and they thought it was a good idea. They weren't thinking. But somewhere along the line, their values got reprioritized. But the old plan that had been made according to the old prioritization of the values said that they continue. And they get done with a seminary, and all of a sudden it hit them. Why did I do this? Yeah, I got good grades, and I'm all ready to go, and I've got all this education under my belt, but I really don't care. That's called reprioritization of values. We want to look at our values this morning as one way to help us cope with transitions, to see how we're lining them up these days. We've got a little exercise to do that. When you get a group of people together and say, what's really important to you? What is it that makes you want to get out of bed in the morning? They tend to list these sorts of things. These are, I think a good definition for it is the employment of our faith. It's a value is something, it's the answer to the last why. You can't go any deeper than that. You're into Paul Tillich, it has to do with the ground of being. If I'd ask you why you got up this morning, well, I'm here and I'm going to eat breakfast. Well, why? Go through about 15 of those. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why? Oh, I've got to support my family or whatever. Why do you ask for it? Get down to the last why. You would probably list some value below which you could go no deeper, because I think that's what my Lord wants me to do. Because that's the way the world is. Something like that. So, when you get people together and say, why are you doing what you're doing? You come up with stuff like this. Some people feel that, these are all good, by the way, just try and suspend your value judgments on these, kind of absorb them. Some people say, I need to be doing important things. That's what makes me want to keep doing what I'm doing. Some people say, it's got to have excitement. That's what I'm about. I really grew on adventure. Now that quotient tends to be rather high the younger we are. If you test people and they score high on that after they're 40 or 50, you want to talk to them. That's okay, but astronauts and Marines and people like that tend to score high on that later in life and tend to die sooner than the rest of us. And sometimes we can do it with money. Life crisis hits and we blow it all into a sports car or something like that. It's okay if you score high in adventure, I'm not saying that. But normally as we go through life, that quotient tends to go down. Aesthetics, some people say I do what I do because I'm entranced by the truth, beauty, and culture in life. For others, it's I want to be in a situation where love is freely given and received. that's what's most important to me. For others, it's I want to have the opportunity at this stage in my life to be authentic, to be myself, whatever that means. For others, they prefer to be a big fish in a little pond. Whatever it is, I want to be a recognized authority in that field. W.C. Fields would stand by the bed and juggle cigar boxes till he'd fall into bed. He figured out his parents drove him out of home. He literally lived in a hole in the ground with planks over the top when he was a teenager. And he had to find something that he could be expert at, so he started juggling. That's how he got into the show. They're still finding bank accounts at the Walker W.C. Fields.
Really?
He was so insecure because of that child when he started bank accounts under fictitious names all over the country. I still haven't traced them all down. For others, it's family. I will bend everything in my existence for the sake of my family. Sometimes that weight stays on longer than it needs to. It might have a higher priority longer than it needs to for us. Whereas, you know, when we're younger, it might absorb 40% of our energy. Now it doesn't need more than 5, 10, 15%. Intellect, whatever it is, it has to engage my mind. For others, I need to be the leader. I don't care what the pay is, I don't care what I have to do, I need to be the leader. Whatever endeavor I'm involved in. I don't care what the job is, just so long as it's within Northern California. Location. Or it's where it's near my relatives, kids, or whatever. Or just so it's outdoors. Next one most people do well in political campaigns, loyalty, given and received totally. My denomination right or wrong, my country right or wrong, my church right or wrong, Republican Party right or wrong, whatever. Loyalty is what's important. And another one is personal freedom, that I can make my own choices unimpeded by the way I spend my day. This one, sometimes it goes higher on the list when we start to lose it. I start getting real interested in hair about 10 years ago. So physical prowess begins to escape us. Or sexuality, I mentioned before yesterday. As we get older, might increase our interest in it. Pleasure. I work with an individual. He says, the only reason I stay in this job is because it's fun. If it ever stops being fun, I'm going to quit. Another one is power. These people, you might think that's the same as leadership. These people, it's fine if they've got the title, but if they don't have the title and they're the power behind the throne, that's okay too, just so they got the power. Whether other people recognize it or not. These people, the title is important. Like to have a name on the door, placard on the wall, on the desk, prestige, being well known. And somebody was mentioning that can be important to pastors. Security, I don't care what the job is, just so I know I'll be there 5 years from now, long term. Self-growth, that what I'm doing, how I'm spending my life, will sooner or later engage all of my potential, that my self-realization will be implemented. And finally, service. We all like to make our contribution. It's a little different. It's intense. These people need to work with needy people. And they want to work with needy people. Contribute to the welfare of others. Spirituality, that everything I do can clearly be seen as somehow related to my spirituality. And that it implements that and helps me grow in my spirituality. And finally, wealth, that I have the freedom I want because I have plenty of money to do the things that I want to do. Is there any that you're aware of in your own life that you didn't see on that list? Like mention things that are really important to you. Now that you've written them down, I'll hand them to you.
Carl, I just read a book this last couple of weeks by Viktor Frankl. And he approaches this, as you opened up the discussion, why do I get out of bed? He asks the question, why do you not commit suicide? In other words, what drives you? Mm-hmm. He speaks out of his experience in the death camp, where everything is removed. Every vestige of identity, possession, family, friends, clothing, jewelry, life itself. And his opinion is that we usually use the Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of values, and he kind of turns that around and says that some of the things that you've all of these things that you have put on here are more critical to a person's desire to get out of bed or not commit suicide, are more critical and more operative than biological survival itself. And to me, that was a revelation, because I'd always pretty much bought into Maslow's hierarchy of values, where he puts basic animal existence or biological existence as the basic values. And the more I think about that, the more I think Maslow, that Frankl is more on target than Maslow is. At least when I look around and see the number of people committing suicide who have lost any sense of getting out of bed in the morning. Death is more inviting for many people than life.
I think that's right on. Even the federal government learned about that in the 50s. Because what happens in brainwashing is that your values are systematically stripped away. Your belief in democracy or the American way or your spiritual beliefs. And they learned through the Korean War what that did to people. And so you had a lot more in the armed forces teaching of ethics and value systems. Like that to a chaplaincy program after the war, because it became apparent that human beings do not live by bread alone. That's the stuff that we live on, our values, and so it keeps us going. Well, now that you've got the list, would you take something, mark that list, and did anybody have any they want to add to the list?
What about love? What is love?
It was alluded to under affection, but if you feel that's not connected closely enough, add love to your list. There's nothing sacred about this list. Mark your top 10. Pick out the 10 that really motivate you on this list, please. That's your 10?
No.
Get the time you need. Anybody like my time? Photo opportunity here? Okay, either behind you on the chair or next to you in front of you is a packet of 10 cards. Would you write each of your 10 values on one of those cards, please? Prioritize those by moving the cards around. You might want to work on the floor in front of you or turn around and use the chair behind you. Spouses, please don't look at your partners. Prioritization at this point or be influenced by them. Just arrange your 10 the way you think it's most important in your life down to least important in your life, those 10. When you've got them the way you want them, that sheet you have with all the values on it, you turn it over so it's the blank side, put a line down the middle of that sheet. And in the upper left-hand corner, put a title. My values prioritized. And in a column, write the way you have them prioritized now, please. Lined on the middle of the paper, upper left-hand corner, my values prioritized, and then in a column, your list. When you're done with that, just put that sheet aside so you can't see either side of it. Just put it under your chair or something. You got your pack of cards arranged in the order you want them? Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you to just keep two things with you. Something to write with and your packet of cards. Okay? And go off into your own world. That means turning your chair around to face the wall or moving to another part of the room. Get into yourself a little bit. Give yourself some space. Let your neighbor have their space and their solitude. Just go somewhere where you're not looking at anybody, looking at the wall or whatever. Take your cards and something to write with, please. Try and stay in the room. Relax, take some deep breaths, yawn if you need to.
Corvette, what that represents to you. Can you remember the last time you experienced that value? What kind of fulfillment did it give you? What kind of joy? Now try to imagine that that value were taken out of your life and you couldn't have it anymore. What would that be like? Would you write yourself some notes on that card, please, of what life would be like without that value? Feel you've captured it pretty well. Let's take that value out of our lives. Just let it fall to the floor beside your chair. Let's get rid of that value. Look at number 9 now. What does that represent to you? Why did that make it into your top 10? What's it giving you? Now, if you couldn't have it anymore, what would be missing from your life? Write yourself some notes about that. When you're ready, take it out of your life. Just let it fall to the floor beside you. Don't worry about what order they fall in. Look at number 8, please. Again, can you remember the last situation in which you experienced this? Where was it? Who was around? What was the situation like? What did you feel like in that situation? Now write what you'd feel like if you couldn't have it anymore. Up now to number 7. You felt this was more important than the last 3. Is that true? If so, why? What is it giving you? Now, what's taken away if you can't have it? Ready for number 6? Moving up the line, give it its due. Try and appreciate what it represents for you. Now, what would you be missing if you couldn't have it anymore? Take number 6 out of our life. What you've got in your hand now or on your lap, you said were the 5 most important things in your life at this point. Take number 5. This may involve more of your time, more of your energy if it's that important.
Why is it important? Let's take number five out of our lives. Getting close to the top. Take number four. And just contemplate why this is more important than six others. Now, what would be gone from your life if you couldn't have it? How would you feel about that? Down to your top three now. Let's take number four off. Look at number three. Try to appreciate it, what it means for you, all it gives you. Now, what would be missing? Let's take it out. Might be getting a little harder to drop them. Number two, you felt this was the second most important thing in your life at this stage. Write about what would happen, what you would feel like if you couldn't have it. Card left. You felt this was the most important. Is that true? Write about what's affected in your life by this value. What's affected in your life? What if you couldn't have it? What would be missing? Same as the others. You might not be feeling okay right now, because that's how it feels when our values get taken away from us or get rearranged. Let's suppose that God appeared right now in the room and said, "My dear son, my dear daughter, my son came to give you new, abundant life. And tomorrow morning I'm going to give you a whole new life. You will be very fulfilled. You will be very happy. Tell me what one value you want that life based on. Would you pick up the one most important value that's on the floor for you now, please?" Everybody got the one they want now? You may feel that you're incomplete with just that one value. If you can only pick up one more, what does it have to be? Doesn't make any difference how you prioritize them before. What does this second value have to be? Since ours is a triune God, you may have one more value. Got your top three. Anybody like more time? Okay, everybody needs five top values. Notice carefully how you pick up number four and number five, in what order. What has to be the next most important one? After you've got your top five, pick up the remainder in the order in which you now want to pick them up. For your new life. When you're ready, come on back, please. Would you please take that sheet now where you had them in the left-hand column, the line down the middle, and in the right-hand column on top, write the title, "My Values Reprioritized." And in a column, put the order in which you just picked them up, please. When you've got your two columns done, draw lines between the same words, please. As you notice that list on the right now, that's probably closer to where you're at than the list on the left, because I gave you a little discomfort. I'm sorry about that. The list on the left may be more where your head is, and the list on the right may be more where your heart is. You might want to ask yourself a couple questions. If a Martian came down now and looked at my life, would she be able to guess that's how my values are lined up? And another one is, what baby steps could I start taking to start arranging things more in line with that prioritization of values in my life? Doesn't mean a massive change, or quit my job or whatever necessarily. What little things could I start doing to honor that current prioritization of values? Now, if you took this again in 6 months, a couple things might move up or down. They change as we change. But you're free to share as much or as little about your thoughts in the last hour as you care to.